Hey, stranger. The Opus is moving out and into a new season as we continue to explore the ongoing legacy of music's most iconic records. I'm your host, Adam Unz, and this season we're celebrating the 45th anniversary of Billy Joel's fifth studio album, The Stranger, a record whose critical and commercial success catapulted the piano man to superstardom. Helping us explore this classic collection are artists like Billy Joel's drummer Liberty DeVito, Regina Spektor, Andrew McMahon in the Wilderness, Rozzy, Lissy, The Arkells, Bayside's Anthony Renari, and Ben Folds. Great music shapes lives, shakes rafters, and embeds itself into our culture. So let's find out why only the good die young as we deep dive into The Stranger. The new season is out now and is brought to you by the Consequence Podcast Network and Sony Legacy Recordings. Find us at consequence.net or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the place where Black is the main character, where we dive into something new like the latest season of Them, The Scare, and the award-winning American Fiction. Or add to the experience by buying or renting the biopic of a legend, Bob Marley, One Love. And add on channels like Paramount Plus and Stars to bask in nostalgia with Beverly Hills Cop and BMF. Explore Prime Video's culture-rated collection and enjoy old-school greats and new-school hits. Restrictions apply. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details.
Consequence Podcast Network. Hello, and welcome to the Spark Parade, where I geek out with artists and entertainers about their cultural spark of inspiration. I'm Adam Unz, at Spark Parade on all social media. Thanks ever so much for joining me. My guests today are the band Shade, who spoke to me about their spark, Sylvan Esso's self-titled debut album. These people are such fucking cutie pies. I can't stand it. Such a sweet and lovely trio. They had lots of interesting takes on this album and the way it aligned with and inspired their own work. You're gonna love it. So let's just jump right in. Quick Shade facts. The trio of Chelsea Lee and twin brothers Max and Spencer Ernst have been living in a whirlwind for a long time. A long, circuitous, sometimes stop-start arc that included meeting as teenagers playing around DC, living and writing at home together, and a surprise breakout hit in 2018's Trampoline. The runway ascension of Trampoline led the band through an array of dream scenario milestones, soundtracking a MacBook Air commercial, 2 billion streams, and accolades from pop cultural monoliths like iHeart and Billboard. But they also experienced some pitfalls following that unexpected success. Seeking a reset, they emerged from tumultuous times equally defined by existential crises and beautiful life changes to craft music that was truly a statement of their identity as anything they had ever made before. Shade's new single, Rocket in the Sky, is out today, and their sophomore album is to follow later in the year. Quick Sylvan Esso facts. Sylvan Esso is the debut studio album by American electropop group Sylvan Esso, released in 2014. The band consists of singer Amelia Meath and producer Nick Sanborn. The album reached number 39 on the Billboard 200 and number 7 on the Independent Albums chart. It received positive reviews from critics with a score of 77 out of 100 on Metacritic. Stereo Gum called the album a breezy, joyous piece of work, as well as selecting it as Album of the Week for May 2014. Consequence of Sound, aka the forebear of Consequence and the Consequence Podcast Network, gave the album a positive review and stated that the combination of Meath and Sanborn for the album is a true achievement for a duo who are just starting to sow their musical seeds. And there you have it. Time to get into it. Here comes my chat with Shade about Sylvan Esso. Can you remember either hearing the first Sylvan Esso album for the first time or hearing about it, that time period, anything generally, those thoughts?
Okay. I will go first.
Okay.
So Spencer and I, we started dating in 2010, if I'm correct, 2010. And we would do this really cheesy thing where we would celebrate our half anniversary and our full anniversary of our first date, which was Valentine's Day. And for this one particular trip, we went to Assateague for like in a little cabin for like a getaway, which is a probably a couple hours from our house. And I'm sure that I had heard a song off the album before this, but we definitely dove so deep into that album during this trip. And it had to be like, it was either 2015, 2016. And it was like the soundtrack to this really lovely little trip that we had. And I just remember we played this game called Cribbage. We love this card game. And the whole time we were there, we were just playing Cribbage and listening to this album. So that's my, I always think of that trip when I hear this album. It would be my first kind of take on that.
Amazing.
Also, did the album come out in 2014, I think?
2014.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think that we listened to it right when it came out. I think it took us.
I'm gonna push back a little bit. I think it was, it's been a while, but I think it was maybe 2015 because I remember we were in Charlotte, North Carolina playing. We had gone down there, I think, for a show. Max might remember this. And we knew some musicians down there and.
Oh, in Durham.
And maybe it was Durham. Yeah. And they had shared a music video. They were just like, you got to check out this band from Charlotte. And it was the Play It Right.
No, I think they're from Durham.
From Durham. Okay. Yeah. Sorry. Durham. Yeah, You're right. It was Durham. And they just said, you got to check out this music video. And it was for Play It Right. And we were like pretty impressed with, I mean, the visuals were cool, but the song itself was like super cool and very unique. And I think that was the first taste we got of them. Max, what do you remember like that?
Yeah, I think you're right. But that, what year were we doing those tours? Was that in 2014? Must have been 2015 then. 2014, 2015. I feel like the first real memory I have of that was like, I feel like there was a, like it was us three in the kitchen. We were living in that rental house in Silver Spring. And I think we were just like listening to it one night. Like Chelsea was cooking. We were having like some beers or something and just like rocking out to like that whole album. I remember like that song Dress specifically.
Max, I think that was, not to push back again, I'm not Mr. Expert, but I feel like we weren't even in our rental house at that point.
No, this is what I'll say. I think after that trip that we took, we were doing this horrible little tour that we had like planned ourselves. So after the trip that Spencer was talking about, I think I missed the music video viewing. I probably had gone to bed way too early. But I remember we were all in the car driving home from that.
Yes.
And you guys played me that album and I was like so pissed because it was so good. And I was like, this.
Yeah, this is amazing.
I was just so mad about this.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it was just so, so cool. And we were kind of like in a transitional period anyways, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
when she says it was a horrible tour, it was like we self-booked this tour and we were playing to like the sound guy and like her uncle in Charlotte, like in a whole venue, like an empty venue. And we were just traveling around playing to like the smallest crowds. I mean, it was like, it was fun.
We had fun,
but it was just like, oh my God, we were like kind of feeling pretty defeated after that, being like, what the hell are we doing here? You know, but that album was amazing. And I think it was really, we were coming from like a folk Americana thing before, and Spencer and I were fresh out of this folk project, and Chelsea was kind of starting to join us for some shows. But then we had a live drummer and things didn't work out with him. And we were kind of at this crossroads at that point where we were like, all right, well, we know that us three have this really strong bond and we want to do a project together, but do we really want to invest in bringing someone else into our world again and like trying to build this whole relationship and a sound together with someone else? And I think the answer was no. And partly because I think we were really inspired by like the music that was coming out around that time, especially Sylvanesso, that album. That was like huge for us because it had all of that harmony and that kind of folk Americana element to it. And just like, you know, just beautiful voice. But then also these very cool electronic elements too. So we started, that kind of was a very, very like inspirational for like the first new kind of batch of music that we put out in 2016 for this project for Shade. That was like, you know, when we were writing the songs for that and starting to produce a lot more like beats and electronic kind of influenced stuff, this record was like one of our biggest inspirations. I don't know if I jump forward there, but I feel like that's kind of part of the timeline.
Yes, there are no rules here.
several things. First of all, I just have to say, as you know, I'm an actor, as a performer, I understand that feeling of like, I lived in England for a long time, and there are rules for British theater where it's like, if there are fewer people in the audience than there are on stage, you don't have to do the show. And I've done shows where it was like one person more, and they're like, do we have to? It's like, yes, you have to. So there's like, you know, three actors and four audience members or something.
Oh, wow.
It's, yeah. And you have the joy of performing, but it's also like, Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then also this, there's a movie called Rashomon that's like, you know, samurais. And the, I mean, there are other movies like this as well, where it's like the same event told from different perspectives. And, you know, you keep like going back to the beginning. It's like, no, this is what happened. Yeah. And I feel like we've done something like that here.
Yes.
So, yeah, I think everything you were just saying, Max, like a band that has this foundation, I guess, really from both of them. I mean, you know, the vocals obviously all come from Amelia Meath. But the, like, you know, Mountain Man, the band that she was in before, which is like almost all a cappella, this kind of Appalachian, you know, very folky, rootsy, bluesy style of singing, and very pure, very like, I read this account of their first South by Southwest performance, and they were all like, this is the first time we've ever sung with microphones.
Whoa.
They all faced each other on stage. They weren't looking at the audience. Somebody said, oh, maybe they were barefoot too.
Wow.
But it was like this thing that was like just the cleanest, purest version of what they do and that sound. And they all had these like crystal clear voices, these really tight harmonies, having that kind of foundation. But then, you know, her husband's band is called, what's the band that he was in before?
There was Made of Oak. Made of Oak was what it was before.
Made of Oak, yeah.
I'm thinking of Megaphone. This is the magic of the internet and the magic of editing. When this people hear this, it's going to sound like I know everything.
It's I think it's Megaphone. I think it's Megaphone.
Megaphone?
Yes.
That's what I meant to say. So he was in, let's just get that on.
Yeah.
So he was in this band called Megaphone.
Yeah.
But even, you know, if you listen to that music,
yeah.
Again, no electronic elements, just like not, you know, or it's not acoustic, but no like bleeps and bloops and knob twiddling. And to have these people who come from those foundations making this music that like has those influences in it,
yeah.
But has evolved into something else.
Yeah.
And, you know, for someone who is not a musician, but is a, you know, music obsessive, I love when artists challenge themselves, move in really new and unexpected directions, but are still, you know, true to what they were doing. And I feel like that's a really, you know, that kind of encapsulates what was happening.
That's true. What's interesting too is like, to go off that, how they started the record, Hey Mommy, like it starts so folk with just her vocal and like reverb and just this really sort of hypnotic folky melody. And then the way that the like electronic instrument kind of gets introduced, it's like so, to us, I would say it was so unique and it works so well together. But I think even like the way that they introduce the record is cool. It feels like they're sort of like, yeah, we came from here and we're going to showcase that, but then we're just going to like hit you with this amazing electronic soundscape behind it.
And then you could tell that it was recorded. They recorded the entire album, I think, in his like bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
And so like the album starts and there's like a good 5 seconds of just room noise. So you can really feel like you can like hear like little cars going by the window and then she starts to sing and like you can even like almost hear like the size of like the room that they were in. It sounds like it like puts you in that spot. And then like, you kind of know that it's not like that. It wasn't recorded in like a studio. You really, I feel like that was what was so cool about it was, it sounds like they're like in this, you know, this like little apartment and like you could really visualize it. And then when that little
boom, boom,
ding, ding.
Cowbell or something,
It's
like the ting, 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 ting. And then when the bass hits, like it sounds so fresh like that. Like if you heard that today, I guarantee you we would be like, oh yeah, this just came out. Like this is the sickest song we've heard.
Yeah. I feel like also another thing for us is we hadn't really heard like the marrying of folky with electronic. I think that I'm sure it was out there, but that was something really new for us, and it just sounded so freaking good. And it was just like, what is this? Like, we want to do this. We've come from like a folk art alternative, you know, kind of Americana background. And now we're, you know, adding all these kind of electronic synths and stuff to our music. Like, how do we, they just did it so seamlessly. And I think that
it was pretty daunting too. I think like hearing that and not knowing how to really create those sounds was like a challenge. And Max and I, we produced all this stuff for Shade. So to hear that, it was daunting for sure. I think we were like, we got to embark on this and figure out how they do this, because it just felt like Chelsea's voice especially could sound so good with that similar soundscape. Not that we wanted to replicate it, but it was just like, we just knew that there was something there that we wanted to kind of chase a little bit and see if we could kind of reach those kind of sounds. But I remember it being pretty scary, honestly, like, because it just sounded so cool. We had no idea how to really produce something that sounded like that.
Right. And, you know, the most exciting thing, I think, is that it is both familiar and brand new at the same time. And, you know, her voice, it makes complete sense that Mountain Man toured with Feist and were her backing singers. It's that same kind of quality to her voice.
Mm.
But I can't remember which song it is, but there's a song that has this like really deep kind of grimy electronic bass that's like kind of the lowest tone possible underneath this beautiful, clear voice.
Mm-hmm. It's a, could I be coming home? Da, 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 da. It's a, could I be, I think. Yeah, it's could I be.
Yeah.
Right. And that kind of contrast is just like
crazy.
Yeah, really striking and just kind of takes you off guard. It's like you don't expect those two opposing forces coming together and making this new thing.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Time for a quick break, because somebody's got to keep the lights on around here, but we'll be right back.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
That's also cool that I feel like they're kind of dynamic parallels, kind of the same kind of closeness that we have with our group as well. I mean, they got married in 20... I looked this up. They got married in 2016.
Mm.
So they've been together, you know, as like, I mean, you guys got married in what, 2018?
Yeah, 2018, yeah. It's just like a family band. I don't know. There's just something different about being a family band. Not that we've never known anything different, but I feel like there's got to be a different dynamic with a family band versus a band of friends or like a band, you know, like you're just always together. You're always like creating, there's just a different relationship. And I feel like when you find other bands like that, it's just a really cool vibe.
Mm-hmm. And I think you can see that connection between the two of them when they're performing.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I saw the first TV appearance they did was on Fallon, and they just kind of look at each other and just like, fuck, look what's happening.
Yeah.
We're doing it.
Yeah.
I went to their Tiny Desk concert. It's funny. We had a friend at the time that like somehow had an in at NPR, and there was only one ticket and all three of us wanted to go. And somehow I got the golden ticket to see the show. And it was really cool. And again, like you can really just see the closeness. And when you start with, like when you start just playing at shitty venues or whatever, you know, and then you get to this point where you're, you know, playing a Tiny Desk or you're on Fallon or something. It's just like, you can see the people that are so humble and just like excited and just, it just is really, it's a really cool thing to see for sure.
Yeah. And even as they've gotten bigger and bigger and had a, you know, bigger fan base and become more prominent in the world of music, I don't think that feeling has ever gone away. They still, you know, obviously the public perception you have of people can be very different from the reality, but what I see in them from what I can see is people who are still, you know, grounded and down to earth. The thing I was thinking about, I don't know if Sam B's show during the pandemic still had musical performances during like lockdown, but it was all people performing at home or, you know, doing things in whatever way they can. And Sylvanesso did a performance where they're on the back of a flatbed truck driving down a hill, like in a farm.
Whoa.
And singing Ferris Wheel, just like in the middle of nowhere. And it just like, it gave me that same feeling of just like, we just love what we're doing and it doesn't matter where we do it. And, you know.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
I love that about them too. It's like, they built a studio in Durham, North Carolina. You know, like how many other bands are, you know what I mean? They self-produce everything. They didn't move to Los Angeles or move up to New York or whatever to kind of be part of. Maybe there's a great artist community down there that we don't know about. I'm sure there probably are some great artists, but I just think it's so cool that they have this vibe together. And I think that they will continue to just make records in a special place together instead of, you know what I mean? I feel like they have that thing where they're not trying to like chase something or I don't know. I think that it's just cool. We do the same thing, you know. We record at home, and there's something about like I live in DC and they live in Virginia, and you know, I'll drive over there and have a cup of coffee and then we'll sit down at their piano and write or like record. It's just there's a different vibe I think that comes across when you're just doing it in your own space and you're not going all over to record in different studios and things.
Yeah. And you know, he's from a small town in Wisconsin. I grew up in St. Paul, Minnesota, and it's about an hour away from there. I've driven through that town many times. But, you know, she went to college in Bennington, which is a tiny town in Vermont. And I think she lived in New York for a little while and then moved away from here to start recording and all of that stuff. And it is, again, that feeling of like big, exciting music that is going to draw in this huge audience and, you know, shake things up, but also something very small and very intimate that it makes sense that it's like, we don't want to be in the middle of all of the shit that everybody else is doing. This is our own thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's both very private and very public. And that kind of, you know, those, again, these like opposing forces, these things that shouldn't work together that actually do. I'm trying to create a recurring theme, even if that doesn't exist. But
No, it absolutely isn't a recurring theme.
No, it's there.
And I think it's just unique. It's so fun. Like we play it and our daughter just turned 2 yesterday and she's like obsessed with Sylvanesso. You know, it's just a really catchy, really fun. It's just a really good vibe.
What's cool too is, so June is 2 and we play all kinds of music around the house. You know, we're playing like classical music. She's really into Mac DeMarco. She like will play and some like electronic music too, like a little bit, but with I think it was Chelsea, what was the song?
It was HSKT
Head, shoulders, knees, and toes.
Yeah, she loves that song.
Literally, she heard the sound of the bass. That was it. That was the one, Chelsea? I think it was.
Yeah, I think it was.
She hears the sound of the bass, and she just like she's like, "What's that?" And I'm like, "Synth." I'm like, "That's synth bass." I was like trying to figure out if I should say bass. I'm like, "It's not really." I was like, "It's synth bass." And she's like, "Synth bass." And then she would just like, when she heard it, she would like go like this. And then we played it again a couple of days later, and she's like, "Synth bass." But the cool thing was I'm not trying to brag about our daughter, but the cool thing was it was like it reminded us sort of like when we had heard it for the first time. And some of those sounds were like so unique, especially in that context. And I think it just kind of shows even now, like her hearing, like those kind of sounds are still like, so I don't know. They're just unique and interesting. They're interesting to like a young mind too. Like she was like, "What is that?" So yeah.
Yeah. I hear that.
She's very particular too about music. She's always like next song, next, but she likes Sil Vanesso.
I mean, it's good. You're raising someone with discerning taste. So,
you know, we're trying.
Yeah. But that kind of makes sense to me too, that it's like the production is not sparse, but there's like, it is easy to pick out individual elements.
Mm-hmm.
And it isn't something, you know, I think intentionally that overpowers the vocals. It's like, you know, it works in concert with them. So for, you know, young listeners who are just starting to figure out what sounds are what, I think it's a good place to start.
I love how they, for on this album, they brought back like a lot of the same sounds, I think. I think they were using the same bass on a lot of things. And like, in particular, one thing that was standing out to me this morning when I was listening through the record again, was that like those claps that happened in the first song and Hey Mommy, I'm like 99% sure that those claps like are being sampled and reused in like a few of the other songs. And maybe they're like low passed a little bit more, but I was really like, oh wow. Like I thought that was so cool how they were bringing back a lot of the elements. I feel like that's something that we haven't really experimented that much. I think we've tried to, but I'm trying to think on this, on our new record we're working on now. I think we try to use some of the same instruments. Like, I mean, well, you know, piano and guitar, and it's like we have a Juno, but I feel like they were really good about creating like this world in the first song and then really like not straying too far from that like space, you know what I mean? Like a lot of the songs.
And I think sparseness actually is like a great word to use for Sil Vanesso, and like particularly this record. I think they were very particular about preserving that sacred space for her voice, and while also doing the right things on like synthesizers and like the bass synth. But, you know, in terms of how that's inspired us, like, we've really had that same approach with Chelsea is that when we're writing, well, I guess more so when we're producing out the songs, like we really try to keep it minimal with the production when we can. Cause like at the end of the day, I think people, you're just, especially with like a great voice, you just want to feel that and hear what she's saying and just build support around that. So I think that was very inspiring with this record. It was like, you could see that these deep synthesizers and stuff could be used, but also in a way that they were supporting the vocals and not overpowering it ever really on that record. So,
and still creating such a big sound. Like that was always the mystery. It's like, it's obviously not, but it seems just so simple and pure, but it's just like this huge sound, especially like with all the, like the bass and everything that's coming in. It feels like something that you could listen to when you're cooking dinner and have it in the background, or something that you could like rock out to in the car or something. It just could be used in so many spaces, and it's just such a great, great album.
You're right. I feel like it's more like a huge feeling than like a huge like sound. Like I feel like they somehow create like this big, some of the songs even today, I was just imagining on a huge festival stage. Just like how hype people would be getting when like they would do these like little builds, but it would just be like a hi-hat, like, and then it'd just be the vocal like repeating. A lot of these songs were, I was listening, I was like, wow, they really, like some of them were like over 4 minutes. Like some of the big tracks like Coffee and stuff, like a lot of their tracks were like well over 4 minutes. And I feel like it was really cool how they weren't afraid to like really do like a traditional 8-bar, like what do you call it, like a build before like a drop almost, but like in this really cool way where it's like this little folk voice that's been looped and then just like a little hi-hat, But I feel like I was like, wow, they really were not afraid to like really elongate certain sections at the beginning of the song and at the end of the songs too. Like some of the endings were like, what's the song? Is that what, you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, could I be?
Yeah.
At the end of the song, like they repeated that, I think it was like 8 times or something. I was like, wow, like that's something I feel like it was a cool reminder that like, that's maybe something that we should even try on some of our songs. Like they weren't afraid to have like a very long outro and just let you kind of like live in that space longer than I would have thought expected.
Yeah. And I like, you know, all the stuff you're saying about the balance, the production not overpowering the vocals and, you know, supporting it, but the production doesn't disappear either. And that also fits in with this feeling of like excitement and, you know, something that feels not quite like, you know, club banger, but like there is movement. It makes people want to dance. It makes people, you know, there's support there for actual physical connection with it, but also the space to assign your own emotions to it, to, you know, experience it in the way that you want to without being like overwhelmed and overpowered by noise.
That's crazy. I think a great example of that is like, I think I'm saying this right, it's called like Uncantina. We're listening to that today, and there's this moment where like the production, like the feeling is so good with the rhythms are awesome. Max, it's that one. Did you ever say it? Yeah. And then on the chorus, she's like, she sings this melody where it's a rise, where she's like, oh. And she like holds that high note. And I swear to God, like every time I hear it, it just brings like tears to my eyes. Cause it's.
Yeah, that one gets me too.
It's like production is so, feels so good. But also I think like people really feel it because of her, like the emotion in her voice and the melodies are like, it's very raw, and I don't know, just the way that she plays with these really bigger feeling electronic beats. It's like, that, I don't know. It's just awesome.
Yeah, I know, Trevor. And then that line after it, that's just like,
yeah,
such a beautiful visual line. All I want from you is a letter, and to be your distant lover. That is all that I can offer at this time. And she sings that like maybe 4 times, and like just like with like subtle little variations, but it's just really. You really feel like she means it or something. It's just crazy.
Yeah.
Such a good song. And that's probably my favorite song on the record. And like, I think that's the one that I really remember us three, like this was before Trampoline or anything, but I think it was around that time that we were producing the Melt EP, which is, you know, we moved into a house together. Before that point, we signed with a label in 2016, and they put us on these tours, and we were having fun going out on the road a lot, but we hadn't really gotten back to recording anything. And we got back, and we went from like us living in like our parents' basement and Chelsea like living with her parents to actually having enough cash to scrape together to live in a little rental house. And we had like set up our studio, which was like just a bunch of keyboards on the wall. And we had like a couple months off to just really like be together and wake up every morning and like get in a solid routine where we would wake up and start writing and spend like our entire days like writing and recording. But I feel like it was right around that time too that I have like a pretty vivid memory of us three just like music cranked up in the studio. Like the studio was connected to the kitchen. So Chelsea would be cooking in the kitchen, Spence and I would be in the studio, and then it was like a huge room with like carpet floors, and we would just crank up the music. And I remember listening to that song specifically. And just being like, it was just such a fun.
When you can dance and cry at the same time, like that's that is like that's a magical combination.
That is the key.
That's the goal. Dance and cry at the same time.
That's seriously the goal.
Yeah, that's really good. Dancing and crying. Yeah, that's true. They do that well.
Yeah, I think the old dance and cry is a chef's kiss note to finish on.
That is chef's kiss. That is chef's kiss.
For anyone listening, I have put these poor sweet people through hell trying to get this recording happening. I so appreciate your patience and really sticking with me through all the tech hitches, but we got there in the end.
Adam, I've been putting you through hell. Seriously.
it's not your fault. It is our fault.
We'll just record an extra 15 minutes of, I'm sorry. No, I'm sorry.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but this has been really wonderful. This has been a great conversation.
Thank you so much for having us. We really, really appreciate it. This has been really, really fun.
Thank you so much.
Of course. Thank you again so much. What a wonderful conversation. I really appreciate this.
That was really great. We love talking about favorite bands. This is great.
Thank you.
It was great. It was great meeting you, Adam. Yeah. We appreciate you having us on.
You too. All right. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Positively delightful. What a wonderful crew, right? Thanks again to Chelsea, Max, and Spencer for talking to me. The new Shade single, Rocket in the Sky, is out right now. And that's about it for this time around. Please follow me on social media at Spark Parade. Please rate the show 5 stars and leave me a lovely little review wherever you can. And until next time, bye.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.